The BEA STEM Global Competitiveness Conference presents Extreme Resumes, Constructing a Stellar Resume, a professional development seminar. Featuring Director, Global Strategy for Diversity Talent for JPMorgan Chase, Terrence Bowman. CEO, founder of Courageant Consulting, Kim Arrington. And University Relations Recruiter for Huntington Ingalls Industries, Rosetta Rowland. Having an efficient and strong resume will greatly improve your chances of landing that dream job and starting your career on the right foot. Creating the perfect resume takes practice and skill. You want to make sure that your resume stands out above the rest without overdoing it. How does one make sure that his or her resume is top-notch and bulletproof? This seminar will give you the scoop on creating the standout resume that will get you your next interview. We will discuss tips such as determining what your resume's purpose is, supporting your strengths, using appropriate keywords, the benefits of proofreading and bullet points, and proper font usage. Without further ado, the BEA STEM Global Competitiveness Conference presents Extreme Resumes, Constructing a Stellar Resume, featuring Terrence Bowman, Kim Arrington, and Rosetta Rowland.
All right, so just so we know where we are, this is the Extreme Resume Workshop. Are you in the right place? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Are you ready to transform your resumes today? Did you bring your resumes today? All right, so you're here for it. I'm here for it too. I'm Terrence Bowman. I'm with JPMorgan Chase. I've been with JPMorgan Chase for 14 years, and I come back to work every single day because the wonderful people that we work with and the lives we're able to change every single day. Does anybody here have a Chase account? Fantastic. We're here today to talk about resume writing and how do you transform yourself, because the resume is your calling card, right? That's the first thing we look at even before we talk to you. Whether we see you in person or you've emailed it to us, today we're going to talk about how do you make that come to life and make it effective and make it personable and make it who you want yourself to be on paper. So I've been with JPMorgan for 14 years. I've had a great career with them. Started off as a software engineer. I've had a stint in infrastructure engineering, done some cybersecurity work, mobile technology, and now I lead our global strategy for diversity talent. So what that means is, how do we partner with organizations like BEA, you know, CCG, and NSBE, and SWE, and Grace Hopper, and like all these other organizations to bring in the best talent to the firm? And why I love that so much is because I've been in technology my whole life, it's important to me that we diversify what that landscape looks like. And so that's why we're here today. Today, we're really gonna help you. We want to make this interactive and actionable. So we want you to walk away with things in your toolbox different from before you walked in the door today. Is that okay? I said, is that okay? I know, like, where's the coffee up in here? Right. All right, so Kim is definitely gonna energize you. She is not going to like let you just sit there and be a bump on a log. And I'm not going to introduce her. I'm going to let her do it for herself because she can do it much better than me. But let's put your hands together for Kim.
All right. Thank you, Terrence. Hello, everyone, again. For those that I've made move, I hope you all are not mad. But we are going to, as he mentioned, we're going to have some engagement. Right. I know that you all are here to get some information, and I'm going to move this eventually because I don't like to just kind of be stuck back here. But we are here together to converse and learn some things. And where's my buddy that was back there? Oh, I got it. So I do want to find out from you all kind of why you're here. So I'm going to be asking you all some questions, and I look forward to your responses. So before I go into any of the content, I will share a little bit about myself. So my name is Kim Ikemia Arrington. I am a career empowerment speaker. I'm also a career strategist or career coach. And then I'm also a recruiting professional. I've been in the recruiting industry hiring for over 18 years. I'm kind of telling my age. But I've been hiring for over 18 years. I've worked in a variety of industries, literally a variety of industries, from communications. I once worked for WPGC 95.5. I worked at BET. I've worked for the federal government. I've also supported, I've been a branch manager for a staffing agency. And I now work for a large organization here in the Washington, D.C. area. It's the third largest organization. My role is really to empower professionals to not only take but keep career control. That's just my personal and professional mantra. So it's not about giving you skills so that you can learn one thing and it applies just for that moment, but actually, how do you apply these skills over and over and over again at any point in your life? Because in most cases, we are usually transitioning. So I'm sure that this is not going to be the first time that you all will touch your resume and want to apply for something in the future. All right. So these are three questions that I want to ask you. And I ask you to speak with one another, and then I'm going to hear from a couple of you all. One of the main things I want to know is, what's your specific objective? So what are you here for? What are you looking to accomplish? Like, why first are you here at Bea? And then why specifically this particular session? And then why does the resume matter to you? So why does it matter to you? And then lastly, if you could wave a magic wand and have one major question answered, what would that question be? All right, so take about 2 minutes and get in groups of either two or three and answer these three questions. And then I'm going to call on you all in about 2 minutes or so to hear your responses. All right. Okay. So, all right, I want to hear from a few of you all. So the first question, I'm going to ask again, what's your objective? Why does the resume matter to you? And then if you could wave a magic wand, what question would you have answered? So who wants to answer one of three or all three of the questions? I will call on people. Yes, ma'am.
My objective is to find the career that I actually want. I am appreciative of already being an established professional, but I'd be honest to say it's not what I was looking for, and I'm still trying to get there. What does a resume matter to me? I have to have one for someone to initiate a conversation about a job. If it wasn't part of the interviewing process, I wouldn't feel compelled to generate one. My magic wand question, how do I know what a department is actually doing before I get in there? So a lot of positions, they look like they're doing everything that you're hoping to achieve, and then you get in, oh, we don't do that anymore. We haven't done that in years, or so-and-so left, and now we do this. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. And you got to refresh your resume because you got to jump again. So, yeah.
Very good. All right. And we're taking your questions. We're going to be answering these for you at the end, and where at all possible during the presentation. If something is a part of what we're sharing, I'll also share them along the way. So for those of you all that are sharing questions now, we will prioritize your questions. Anyone else? All right. Thank you, Terrence. All right. So what's your objective? Why does the resume may matter to you? And if you could wave a magic wand, what question would you have answered?
So the objective would be to apply for the position that I want to have. And the resume matters to me because this is the perception that is going to be perceived of me before you see what I look like, before you get to prejudge me as a Black woman in America. And the magic wand question would be, I think for me, it would be what one of our colleagues just said, what exactly the job entails before you are actually in it. Because a lot of times you do apply for positions and they don't, you don't still do the same things that you thought the job was going to be, and you don't really know what you're getting yourself into until you're already in it. And I would probably add the work environment, like, how's that? But then again, everybody put on the show for you before you really see their true colors.
This can be very true. Thank you. Very good. All right, we'll do two more. Anyone else? Yes.
Good morning. My name is Agnes Signu from Cardoza High School, and I'm going to ask all three questions. I'm just going to read it from my paper. Okay, me and my partner wrote, our objective here is to network as uprising seniors and to learn more from what we know and already don't know. And why does our resume matter? It matters to us because it's our ticket to a bright future, because on your resume you write your experience and what helps you get into work field. And our magic wand question is, why is there a limit to what you can write on your resume?
Ooh, that's good. That's a good one. All questions are good. That one, that's the first time I've heard that one. Yes.
My name is Okino Gordon. My objective is to be successful in life, stable with a fun career. Why does my resume matter? Because it opens paths for me, like so I could reach somewhere in life. My magic wand question would be, like, the easiest way to make money, I guess.
Okay.
What was that? The easiest
All right.
way to do what?
We have one more, Terrence. That's
Kim,
a good
what was that,
question.
The easiest way to do what?
The easiest way to make money.
Make money.
Okay. I want to know the answer to that, too. At all times.
I want to know that.
At all times. Every time. That is legal. Yes.
So good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to come from a different angle. My name is Hal Todd.
Hello.
I am a manager three with Huntington Ingalls.
Okay.
And so I'm actually a former Bayer winner as well. So I'm come from the direction of my objective is for somebody to replace me. I mean, so one day I'm going to retire. And so I'm two levels below a VP.
Yes.
And so I want somebody to replace me. As far as the resume wise, it matter. I want to get that understanding. I'm hiring manager. I've seen hundreds of resumes, so I want to be able to understand how do I can communicate what I need in that resume in order for somebody to replace me. And what my magic wand question is how do I get everybody in this room to come to work for Huntington Ingalls? Mm-hmm. No, but really is how do you know I get the next generation up. And replace not just me, but the other people that are retiring.
Thank you. I love that. So is it safe to say that you guys are hiring?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we
okay.
are. Yes, we are.
Okay. All right.
We are
and
hiring.
Kim, really quick, for all yes. of those who were brave enough to share with us,
yes.
we do have a sweatshirt for you in the back, a hoodie. So mm-hmm. at the end, come see us.
That's
I think
right.
it was like maybe five people. Well, or
yeah.
All right.
See, there's a reward in action. Thank you, Terrence. So listen, I mean, there's some great opportunities in the room. We have employers looking to fill vacancies. We have candidates looking for opportunities. This is the prime time to leverage all of your opportunities on both sides of the fence. I am also a program manager for an intern, college intern program, and it's highly competitive. And so what I find myself doing often when I'm not in the coaching capacity for skilled professionals that have been in the workforce, I do spend a lot of extra time with our students, because how many of you all have had advice from your career services department or office in your school about how to really structure your resume? Do you all go to your career services and get advice about that? I know I did in college. I'm a college graduate. I love the college, the university institution. I will say this, I had to dispel a lot of things, not everything, but some of the things that I was taught about my resume and how that should be structured and what employers are looking for and what a recruiter is going to do or leverage, that wasn't necessarily the case for me. I actually had to revamp some things, and it put me in a place of frustration because I focused so hard on doing some very specific things, and I'm going to talk about some of those today. Not just about that, but I just want to share with you all that there are some things that you do find on the internet sometimes. You do find in your career search from your career advisors, et cetera, that may not, it's not that they're not accurate, but as a recruiter, and I have recruiting colleagues, we're here to be able to give you some real specific feedback on what we're looking for as we assess candidates. All right? Thank you for your answers. All right, so what is the purpose of a resume? Who knows what the purpose of a resume is? What do you think the purpose is? So we know we have to do one. We know that employers look at resumes, but what would you say is the purpose of it? Yes. Yes. That's one great answer. That is true. Is the resume designed to get you the job? You said it should be. You should want it to. That's right. The resume really, yes. Absolutely. So she said she doesn't feel that the resume is designed to get you the job. It's designed to get your foot in the door so that you can have the opportunity for the position. That is very correct. The resume buys you time. Nothing more, nothing less. The resume helps the decision maker, in most cases the recruiter, make a quick snapshot decision on are you yes or no. Every day, all day long, I'm looking at hundreds of resumes. And I have to make a decision in a split second, yes or no, just simply yes or no. I'll go back and filter, but my first question is yes or no to this candidate. And your resume in five seconds needs to tell me yes or no. I'm going to continue to dwindle down my candidates, but you want to be in the yes pile, obviously. And I know that seems like it's easier said than done, or that's the obvious, but a lot of times people go with the wrong perspective in mind. And so one great question that we had about why does the resume have to be so short? Because you do not have to be eternal to be effective, right? You do not have to be eternal to be effective. Sometimes more information can cloud up or convolute the process. The decision maker, in most cases the recruiter, is literally just trying to make a snapshot decision. And if there's more information there that he or she cares for at that moment, it kind of confuses that person. And I know confuse is maybe an abrasive word to use in this state, but that's really what it comes down to. And confused minds do nothing, and in a sense, they defer to no. Meaning, if I have to make a decision, if I have to hire, let's make up a position, a marketing professional, and I have some very specific things that I'm looking to fill, and I have five resumes in front of me, and I have 30 minutes to fill it. That's what it feels like in the world of recruiting. Sometimes you have all of these vacancies. You have a short time to fill, and you have to, you in most cases, recruiters are, their job is to find the best candidate in the quickest time period. So if I have to make a decision, I'm looking through five resumes, I have to make a decision and hire in 30 minutes, I'm looking through to make a decision on if I'm moving you to the next step or not. So your resume has to capture that really quickly. All right, what's a good versus bad resume? So good and bad is relative, it depends on who you ask, but I can tell you what's absolutely a bad resume is a resume that, and this may go without saying, most people know this, but if you have an unorganized, chaotic resume, that's the first thing, people will immediately be turned off. I'll give you an example of any of your favorite retailers. Say if you need to go into a store and you need to pick up one item, let's say if you're, I'll pick on Amina. Let's say if you need to get a battery for your camera. And you go into a store that has all of these options. It has, let's say if it's like Target. They have milk, they have bread, they have clothes, they have everything. You don't care about any of those things. You just want the battery. Imagine you go into the store and it's stuff everywhere, all over the place. And your camera battery is in the back of the store. Now, there's a store next door that sells batteries only. Or maybe not. Maybe they sell other things beyond batteries, but they sell electronic things. And when you walk in, it's very organized, and there's somebody there to greet you to say, hello, how can I help you? And you say, hey, I need a battery in 10 minutes. And they say, great, the batteries are here. Which scenario would you prefer to go to? And you have a very short window. Which route would you take? The second one, right? So you have to think about that. There's a floodgate of resumes coming in to the recruiter's inbox on a daily basis. We want the battery quickly before the flight leaves. So we don't want to go to the back of the store. We don't want to read through all of everything, and we don't want it to be chaotic. We like for it to be succinct and clean and organized. So the first things first is when we see the resume, and if it's succinct and it's clean and clear, I'm instantly more compelled to read your resume. Then I'm going to go into the content. So a good resume, and we have a short window of time, so I can't go into the levels of detail here, but I will say in a short way that a good resume is able to capture all of the details of what we're looking for in a concise and clean way, clean manner, organized, and very clear and succinct on what we're looking for. A bad resume is the opposite, and not only the opposite, but a bad resume kind of propels the right opportunity. And there are a number of ways that you may not even know that you're doing that can turn someone off of your resume. All right, such as deal breakers. So I know that we are in a social media world. I'm like a professional stalker. I stalk my candidates a little bit. I will find you on social media. I will find you via your digital footprint, and I will check out who you really are, because someone said it so eloquently. We bring our representatives to work sometimes, but who are we really? And it is an investment to hire someone. So now, you know, a few years back, we didn't have that luxury, but now the media and digital options are available to us. So deal breakers. And I know we're talking about resumes, but this is all encompassing the whole picture. So a deal breaker for me is if you are not showing up as who you represent yourself to be on your resume, on other platforms, I'm instantly turned off. Unless, now I understand we're human, so your personal profiles are for your personal use, right? I can't judge you. No one really should judge you for going on vacation with your friends or whomever and having a good time. That's not the point here. And that's a little bit of an invasion. But if you are blatantly someone else versus who you represent yourself to be on your resume, that is a flag. Now, how do we know that? Because your resume should be a gateway into finding more information about you. So there should be links to follow you. Who's on LinkedIn? Is anyone on LinkedIn? Okay. All right, good. Okay, who's not on LinkedIn? Because the hands were, okay. Please get on LinkedIn. I can't say it enough. You really want to leverage LinkedIn. Now, a lot of people back in the day didn't know really the power of LinkedIn, and actually LinkedIn wasn't as powerful as it is now. I've used LinkedIn all of my career, even when it wasn't cool and people didn't even know about it, because I passively hire candidates. So honestly, I don't necessarily find my top talent or my direct hire in my applicant pool immediately. It's not to say that I don't, but I also do search for people on LinkedIn and other ways. The deal breaker can be if you don't have a gateway for me to find more information out about you. If I can't reach you quickly, not just by your phone, but if your email address is not set up in a way where you're responsive and it doesn't depict a clean and professional email address, is critical. That can definitely be a deal breaker. I have made decisions off of people's email addresses, believe it or not. Like, people have lost, and these are not just, this is not college students. This is, it may not even be, a obvious negative word used in there, but it can be an affiliation of something that may be egregious, or it can be an affiliation with something that's anti-cultural to the organization. You don't want to feed in anything that may give more information that you may not necessarily want to convey. So something as simple as just your first name, last name, and Gmail or what have you does the trick. Don't put, the email address is not the time to show your personality. All right? All right, so attributes of resumes that get the interview. So who actually makes it into the interview? And these are some things that my colleagues and I are gonna talk about here in the panel, so I'm not gonna go too deep right now, but there are some attributes of things that help a person make it to the interview. So there's a formula that I use that I when I'm helping to coach people in their career, and then also that I use as a recruiter on the other side of the desk, and it's called WIFM, which is what's in it for me. So I really want to know what's in it for me, not me as Kim, but me as the company. If the resume is clearly showing what's in it for us, regardless of the role, that person is absolutely going to make it to the interview. Because we want to know more. We want to know how else can you support what we're looking for. And someone also mentioned, how do you know what the company is hiring for? That's a very good question. And some companies are better than others in putting details in job descriptions. Some don't, some do. But what you want to be connected to is the culture of the company. So the culture of the company is one thing. You can read their mission statements. And I know that sounds general, but there are usually most hiring managers have a business case that they should be creating their positions around that backs into the ultimate mission of the company, so that it feeds into, if you can tell that this is a, if the organization shows that they want to now become the employer of choice. And those are certain words that seem so ambiguous or so broad. But what that also means, what that may mean is that they're looking for people that are customer friendly in all roles. I'll give you an example. I was hiring for an IT role. Traditionally, that particular role was heads down, just focus on the work, support your internal client, whether that's another department or someone calling the help desk, just focus on those clients. But when the company changed their mission statement to be the employer of choice, that cascaded throughout the whole company, which then meant that IT professionals that were used to working together and not necessarily being customer facing, they then had to now become more sociable. They had to actually do certain things to make their partners or their clients know that we're here. So they would send out newsletters. They started creating these little videos saying, how can IT help you? That was not an original function of IT at one point. They were just there to answer but their role was specifically to answer questions from a help desk perspective. So you want to make sure that, and I'm not going to go again, I'm going to leave this for the panel to go into, but there are certain things that will get you to the interview more often than not. All right. So things to remember is that less is more. Although we do have years of experience that we're going to collect up or years of experience that we've collected over time, you don't necessarily need to put every single thing on your resume at once because you're going to seal the deal in the interview. You want to buy yourself time. You want to give them that strong spark, strong burst of information that is just enough to intrigue their interest so that they will call you for the next step. Sometimes that call is a phone interview. Sometimes that call is the interview. And I know that may seem like it's stating the obvious, but what I find so much, especially for professionals that have been in the workforce for some years, that they try to put everything in their resume. There's a specific way to formulate and structure your resume so that you are hitting the nail on the head and only putting in what recruiters and hiring managers are looking for. All right, and then aesthetics are important. So again, the way the resume looks is important. It is important because we see resumes and see data all day. So making it clean and concise really helps the process. And then content is king. So as with social media, what you put, so using the space in a wise way and making sure that your content is accurate and powerful is the most important thing you want to focus in on. So if you have 3 bullets, make those the best 3 bullets of your life versus just putting a lot of information in several bullets on your resume. All right. So there are 2 things I want to leave with you. So my colleagues and I were talking about things that may help you all in this process. I do have some resources that I can share with you. So examples of what's a good resume versus not a good resume. And then also something. So as I mentioned earlier, I am really adamant about people really, it's really for me about the person behind the person and the passion behind the profession. We can spend hours, we do spend hours a day at work. And it is a long life if you are unhappy. I definitely do not subscribe to just having a job just to pay the bills. So I really want to help make sure that people understand that not only as you're moving throughout your career, you are aligning yourself with career purpose, that you are connecting with the things that fulfill you as you're doing the work. Because only, and I know we have a hiring manager and we may have a few in the room, the truth of the matter is you're going to get the best out of your employees when they are engaged and they enjoy what they do for a living. Now, I know some people may say, well, it's work. So can you really be happy and fulfilled? You definitely can, but you have to start off in the right way. You have to make sure that you are aligning yourself and looking for the right opportunities. And there's a way to do that. So with this free, it's a free resource. If you want to get the guide to the top mistakes that career changers make, these are some things that people don't necessarily consider when they're trying to create their resume and trying to structure it for the next opportunity. And then even beyond the resume, there are other things that people don't take into consideration. So if you'd like that information, you can text resume to the number here, which is 202-499-6635. And then the last thing is that we have, I have an upcoming resume revamp boot camp that goes through all of the details of how to really create a compelling and powerful resume so that you're not cranking out resume after resume and not getting any positive results. All right. So we're going to now turn it over to questions. If you want to connect with me further, and I think all of our information will leave, but if you want to connect with me further, you can find me on Facebook at Courageous Career Women, on Instagram under Kim Ikemia Arrington, and everywhere by following the hashtag #RevampMyResume. All right. So now we're going to turn it over. I'll turn it back over to Terrence. Thank you for the presentation or listening to the presentation. Terrence, I'll turn it back over to you. And we're going to get started with more questions and answering some questions.
All right. So, Kim, you talked a little bit about the whole journey. So as a recruiter, like, you're looking at these resumes and you said around like that being the best representation at that moment of that person. So talk to me a little bit about that journey for you. Not only just from a resume standpoint, you're saying like if they're on LinkedIn, then you're going to click through, you're going to go to LinkedIn, and then if they have other links on their resumes, if they're technical, you can go to like GitHub and things like that. Tell me also about like other things, like when you call their phones and things like that. So how does that whole experience look from a recruiting perspective?
That is a great question. So it is a pet peeve of mine, and I know of my, I believe this is an industry pet peeve. I've talked to all of my recruiting buddies, and it's a thing for me too. If I call you, or if we contact you for a resume that you submitted, and one of two things happened, you're confused. You're, yes, I'm sorry, you're calling from where? And you're just completely, be prepared. If you're in a job search process, if you have to keep a log of where you've applied, keep a log. Know that, expect that someone will call you. Submit your resumes with expectancy and expect that someone will follow up with you. And expect that for at least 6 months, because it is a very underwhelming experience on our end when we reach out to individuals. Can everybody see me? It can be almost a little bit deflating for the recruiter. We're excited. We see someone, we love their experience, and then we call, and then you're like, I'm sorry, you're calling for where? Or you have low enthusiasm. You're always excited. Just always be excited, okay? Because if you're not even excited about your own situation, your own opportunity, we're immediately thinking, what are you going to feel like on Monday? Everybody beats up Mondays, okay? So how are you going to be in Monday on Monday? After you've made it past the 90-day probationary period, okay? So that's one thing for me that I know is a big deal. Rosetta, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'm going to add to that also. Yes, be excited when we call you. But the other thing is, if you are not available and we get your voicemail, please make sure that you have a very professional message, your name, I can't get to the phone, leave a message. Don't have ringback tones and things like that. I did have a student one time that I was calling to schedule an interview for an internship, and he had something crazy like, you know, if you got this message, I've been abducted by aliens, and just went on and on and on and on, and it's like, no, I don't have time for that. I just need to leave you a message really quick. So, you know, if we don't get you on the phone, still make sure that you have a professional representation on your voicemail message.
So, Rosetta, so DJ Khaled is unacceptable?
No, you can't. I like another DJ Khaled, but not on a ringback tone when I'm calling about a job. We can talk about it after work.
All we do is win.
All we do is win.
Come on.
We win if you have the right voicemail message. Yeah.
Just on that note, too, so a lot of you are busy, right? And so recruiters will call you, right? If you come to a conference like Bea, trust and believe, you're going to get calls. And they're going to be from phone numbers that are not in your phone. And which means that it's probably a recruiter. So when you answer the phone, answer it appropriately. Or if we call you and you're in class, don't answer the phone if you're in class. Like, I'm in class right now, like I can't.
Yes.
Don't answer.
You're laughing.
Let us leave you a message and we will definitely, I'm driving right now. Please don't get in an accident for us. Right. Like, I would love to hire you alive, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You're listening to Extreme Resumes, Constructing a Stellar Resume, a professional development seminar featuring Terrence Bowman, Kim Arrington, and Rosetta Rowland. Brought to you by the Bea STEM Global Competitiveness Conference. Be sure to check out our social media pages on Facebook and Twitter.
It's real stuff, right?
And you're saying, you know, at the conference, you're getting calls from our company, you're getting a call with an offer. We're making offers today. People we're interviewing today, if we decide to offer them a job, we're calling them today to say, hey, you're getting an offer. This is your verbal offer. You'll get your official offer letter in this amount of time. So just know you could be getting a call from a recruiter at this conference saying you have a job. So if you're in a crowd and you're like, what? Make sure you step away to a quiet place because you might be getting a job offer.
Right, and you call that unfamiliar number back.
Right.
Do it in a professional way. Somebody just called Terrence.
Right.
Sorry, I had the wrong number, right? No. So we're joking about all these things, but these things actually happen.
It happens.
These things actually happen. Like, so they were talking about the email addresses, and like, so I work for a pretty conservative bank, but we're also a tech shop. But I'm very cautious of like things that come into my inbox. So if I get an email from redhotchick@hotmail.com, I'm not going to click on that email. And I know that's from way back and you never changed it. You forgot, like, but Terrence.Bowman@gmail.com is perfect. Right. I don't care, like, you're aesthetically looking, whatever, what you did in your past. Like, that's not important. Represent yourself in the best way possible.
Yeah, your impression starts at the very top of your resume with your contact information, your email address, your phone number, and then if you have LinkedIn. So that's the first thing we see. So if that email address is off, you've already lost us. Because like Kim said, we only have a certain amount of time to look through all these resumes. Example, I run the internship program at Huntington Ingalls, at Newport News Shipbuilding, which is a subsidiary of Huntington Ingalls. I have 260 slots for interns. I have 819 applications. So I don't have time to, you know, say, okay, her email is off a little bit. Let me read further. If that email is off, I'm already moving on.
So let's talk about
that.
We're
looking for representation of our company.
So Rosetta.
Oh, you had your hand up. I really don't care if it's, you know, AOL or whatever. I'm just looking that it's your name, first name, last name, or first initial, last name. I'm not looking at what the back end is. I just want to make sure it's a nice professional, you know, email address.
I will say really briefly to that. Now, I have been charged with hiring our innovation officer, and innovation means forward thinking. And if you are, because again, mind you, we're looking at you overall. So we're looking to see if you're naturally, innately innovative. Now, we're not going to make a judgment if you are using whatever, but it does put the first thought in the mind. So it's like, okay, not going to make a decision from there, but if we see two or three things that may not seem to be forward moving, then that might start to collect up. It's not, I don't think that's across the board. So as Rosetta mentioned, that doesn't necessarily matter to her. In other roles that I've had, it doesn't necessarily matter. It didn't matter then, but when I'm in a special like task force specific role, that is usually going to be a career span type of opportunity. I am looking at those types of details. The other thing I'll add is, so I'm also managing the intern program for our organization, and we have even fewer opportunities. So we have about 35 interns that we hire, and we literally had last year 740 applicants before we even closed the job. We actually had to rush. We were waiting for the legal day that we could close the posting because it was just so, the floodgates were there. Now, that's not to discourage you from a opportunity standpoint. I don't want to speak to anyone to say, well, don't even try if the numbers are so slim. But what that means is that you can easily beat out the competition by just showing up in the most succinct way. Because I promise you, your peers and the masses, there's a lot of junk out there on the internet. There's a lot of bad practices, unfortunately, that people are putting into their resume. And by just having it succinct and doing the basics, you can already beat out half of the candidate pool.
So Kim, while you're at the mic, let's talk about the time you spend. How much time do you say you spend on each resume when you're reviewing it?
On each, yes. So I know this varies by role. There's a tiered hiring process for me. I'm doing a surface scan first for, do I even want to move forward with looking at you further? So that's usually 5 seconds. I'm literally, and this is not by paper because, you know, we're in a digital world. So I'm in my ATS or my applicant tracking system, and we have to do what's called dispositioning. So I have to make a decision for everybody that applies. Literally everybody, if I have 1,001 resumes or applications, I have to put a decision in our system on what I've decided to do with that person. So I'm doing a surface scan. I'm like, Susie Q, okay, yes, 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 great. All right. Nope, yes, yes, nope. Literally about 5 seconds. Wow. And then when you get to the next level, you get a little bit more grace and time for each level. But that first, it's like a funnel.
So yeah. What you're saying is the important things need to be upfront.
Yes.
Right? So they need to be clear with their GPA, their major, like relevant skills, yes. Because otherwise you won't get to it.
Absolutely. Right. And the other thing, which is so easy, if it's chaos and it's junky, this is just me. Some recruiters have the patience. I don't. If I have to fish for your information and it's all over, I'm just already just moving to the next one.
Right.
So let's open it up to some questions from the audience.
Real quick, I'm sorry. I just want to introduce myself. I just realized I had a chance to do that. So my name is Rosetta Rowland. I work for Huntington Ingalls Industries. There are several subsidiaries under Huntington Ingalls. Newport News Shipbuilding, which is a subsidiary I work for, is in Newport News, Virginia. We're the sole designer, builder, refueler of nuclear-powered aircraft carriers for the U.S. Navy. And we're one of two companies that design, build, and overhaul nuclear-powered submarines for the Navy. We are currently hiring a lot of engineers, so stop by our career fair booth. We do have our internship application open until Monday. So definitely check us out. I am on LinkedIn as well, so feel free to look me up. I'm the university relations recruiter, so I'm responsible for the internship program. I work with the co-op programs, diversity conference hiring. We do schedule and plan several hiring events throughout the year as well, so in campus recruiting. So I'm here to answer any questions you have during the panel discussion and afterwards.
And we had some great questions before we even opened the floor. I did promise that we would prioritize those that asked the questions first. So did you guys want to take a stab at some of those? I don't know if we answered some of them already.
So the first one was the magic wand questions. How do I know what the department does prior to getting the job? So I would say during the interview, that's your opportunity to ask specific questions about the job. You've had a chance to look at the job description, read through it, take some notes on what's in the job description, and write down some specific questions you have about the job description so that when you get into the interview, you can ask those targeted questions that will give you a really good definition of what that job is. And if you're still confused after the person answers, please, by all means, ask follow-up questions. We're there to get information from you, but you're also there to interview the employer. It's a two-way street. So you want to know everything you need to know to make an informed decision. Because like you said, you don't want to just grab a job because it's paying the bills. You want to make sure you're happy at that job. So make sure you're asking the right questions. And that's by examining that job description and making sure you ask follow-up questions as well.
And you need to make sure you're specific in that line of questioning. So you need to ask them, what would a day in life, you know, a day in the life of if you're going to be a software engineer or like a marketing executive or whatever, what does a day in a life look like? Like, what am I expected to deliver day one, right? What does my 60-day plan look like? Mm-hmm. And what does success look like for you, like coming into this job as a new employee? Like, what do I need to do from day one to be successful in this firm? And so you have to ask those pointed questions and be very specific so you get the answers that you walk away with, understanding like, yes, this is like a great place for me.
That's a great point. And we don't expect you to know it all, right, in the resume or the interview process, but we do expect you to ask great questions that gives us a clue that you either you've already done research, or that you have genuine questions because you genuinely want to make sure that you're fit for the role. I do have candidates, just as a quick interview thing, I do have candidates sometimes, because you should never not have a question to ask at the end of the interview, and sometimes people just ask a bland, I'm going to ask a question just to ask. Ask a meaningful question. It's okay. It's not just us trying to hire you. This is a two-way conversation. This is an interview. It's really us trying to see, it's like a date. It's like dating. Do we want to date before we get married, or are we just going to, what are we doing? So it's a relationship building process.
Who has a great question that's like your go-to question in an interview? When they're saying, do you have any final questions for me? Because that's like a powerful thing to leave them with. Anybody have a good one?
So I had something similar to what the gentleman said, Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Okay. So I always ask, what does a typical workday look like? Just so I know what is expected of me, so I can come in ready, prepared to do all the daily tasks that they would like for me to do for that position that I'm looking for.
Okay.
All right. Good, good, good.
One good thing, like, is if I could just put it out there, recruiters, hiring managers, they love to talk about themselves. Right. So if you ask them a question that will get into their bag a little bit, it would be a great launching point. So something to the point of, you know, what makes you passionate to come into work every day? Like, you've been at JPMorgan Chase for 14 years.
That's a great
question. Do you go back? You know, like, what's the best part about JPMorgan Chase's culture, you know, that you love? Can you tell me a little bit about, like, diversity and inclusion at JPMorgan Chase? Like, how do I fit in? You know, like, things like that. Like, that's inspiring.
Yes. So you've spoken a lot about the importance of the resume, looking professional, being, you know, concise. Can you speak to the importance of something as simple as grammar and spelling checks?
Yes. Another pet peeve. Oh, my goodness. Misspelled words. You have spell check. You have people that you know that are maybe English majors or professors, career services people. Please get them to review your resume. There's nothing worse than seeing incorrect grammar and incorrect spelling on a resume.
And the problem is, you've looked at it 1,000 mm-hmm. times, so you're not going to pick up on those right. things. So get a fresh set of eyes, because most of the roles that we're hiring for require attention to detail, good communication skills. And so when Kim is looking through 1,000 resumes and she sees that grammatical error, that's in the no pile.
Especially if you put in your summary that one of your strengths is attention to detail.
Listen.
And then you have incorrect grammar, misspelled words. It's like, wow.
I was just going to say,
attention to detail.
Yes, I was going to say, it's like a challenge for me. If you put attention to detail, now I'm like, okay, where's the lie? Where's the lack of attention to detail? It depends on where I am in the process, especially depending on the role. So make sure we really love strong keywords. If you're going to use them, then stand up to those keywords that you're putting in. So if you have strong attention to detail, make sure you do have strong attention to detail. And the gentleman back here, who has the mic?
Hi, my name's George. And my go-to question is usually, what do they do besides work? Mm. Is that like an okay question to ask to see if like their job is everything, so you could kind of know about the hours? Or
so. The way to phrase that one, can you tell me a little bit about the work-life balance at JPMorgan Chase, right? That's a great question.
Yes.
Great question.
Sorry, Terrence. I also want to say, if an employer asks you that, you don't answer those questions. Especially in the state of where we are as a culture and society, there's even a heightened level of sensitivity to discrimination, etc. So you want to kind of be careful with the types of questions you ask. Terrence framed that wonderfully. You know, what is the work-life balance here? Can you describe the culture of the organization? And then again, I can't emphasize enough, if anyone asks you specific personal questions like that, you don't necessarily want to answer those questions.
And they're not really supposed to be asking you certain
they should not
questions.
Be.
They should not be asking you those questions.
Yes, absolutely. He said, as a hiring manager, so just kind of best practice and professionalism, you're always being recruited. So if you have a question, it would be nice to stand. So I know if I'm like in a meeting or something, and not depends on the meeting, if it's like a staff meeting, I mean, I don't have to stand and say, hello, I'm Kim. But depending on the form, if it's we're introducing ourselves, I do stand. So like for me, I was telling Rosetta, I was like, I don't want to necessarily be behind the podium. It personality and just kind of certain things show respect or show send different signals. So I think that's what you were alluding to. I don't want to, but is that what you were going with? Yeah.
So to his point, yes, we are always recruiting. So we're taking cues from people we see in this room here today. And we may approach you like after this session and tell you to come to our booth or whatever based on what you ask, how you interact and things of that nature. As they say, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
That's right.
Right? You're always on. Like if I tell you to stand up and give me your elevator pitch, like why should I hire you? You should be ready to go. Right?
And even as you're walking through the halls, recruiters are all over the place. Mm-hmm. We're seeing how you're acting with your friends, how your colleagues from your schools. just walking through the halls here, what you're saying, I've heard students cursing, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this is a professional conference where you're looking for a job and recruiters are all over. Be careful how you're presenting yourself here at the conference.
And can I Absolutely. Also say something to that point? Please do not go to the booth just getting this free swag and just approach it. It also looks really bad.
You at least gotta date us first before you get the swag.
That's right. You know,
you have to sign into the iPad, talk to a couple people, please, and then we'll give you a hoodie. We will, because we don't want to take any home. Trust me. But at least show the interest. Like, I heard y'all got sweatshirts. No, I heard what about an opportunity? What about the internship?
That's hilarious.
Right?
It's true, though.
All right, so just so we can get to the rest of the questions you asked. So one was about the work environment. Not sure what the gentleman was alluding to with the work environment. But yeah, you should ask that during the interview. Ask what the work environment is, what the company culture is. Why is there a limit on what you can write on your resume? That goes back to the time that a recruiter has. We don't have time to read a 27-page resume. So I think the rule of thumb has changed. I've always heard 2 pages maximum. You know, if you can get it to 1, but then you don't want to have your resume too dense with information because it makes it hard for us to read. We're reading hundreds of resumes. So, you know, if you have a lot of information to share that's relevant, you can stretch it to 2 pages. Just make sure that it is relevant information.
Yeah.
And what I'll say is if you have a 2-page resume, whatever's important better be on the first page, because I'm not going to the second page.
Yeah.
Period. So it better be on the first page.
Rosetta, I have a quick question that goes to layout. You guys talked about basically the top quarter of your resume is what you're glancing at, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what your preferred layout is. Is it contact info at the top, and then education, and then work experience? And what do you guys think about this 1-2 sentence summary or objective at the top of the resume, which has been very trendy?
Well, I think it depends on what you're applying for as far as the layout. I do like to see the contact information at the top. If you're applying for an internship, I want to see your school information, what your degree program is, when you're going to graduate, your GPA, some specific courses that are relevant to the position you're applying for, you know, that kind of thing. If you're a professional, you have several years of experience, then maybe you can put your schooling at the bottom. I want to see that relevant experience, because not only are we looking to see if what you did was relevant to the job you're applying to, but I also want to quantify experience, because with our company, we hire like level 1 engineers, level 2, level 3, and that's dependent on how many years of experience you have. So if you are more experienced, then I want to see your experience more on the top, and maybe your degree information more at the bottom. So I think it's dependent on what you're applying for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say, so this is why the Revamp Bootcamp was born that I do, because there are 3 things I'm going to share with you all that's really critical. First and foremost, a lot of times you will hear having an objective statement on your resume. I personally, and a lot of my peers, I hate objective statements, and actually they can block you out of opportunities. If you're saying, I'm looking for an opportunity to become looking for a managerial or professional associate opportunity to blah, 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 we don't care. Yeah. We just don't. And I know that sounds harsh, but I'm trying to give it to you real, because these are some things that you won't necessarily know or hear. So say no to the objective statement. What you want to have is a career summary or an objective summary. 2 different things that are very similar. You want to kind of tell a story at the top of your resume. And this is what buys people. When we talk about attributes to get you to the interview, you can actually tell a whole story in that first summary. And that goes for career professionals and students. I have a lot of students saying to me, well, I don't have any work experience, so how do I do that? There is a way, and I know we're running up against time, but I'll tell you this. If you create a story to tell people what's the ROI, what's the return of on investment of hiring you, so they can paint a picture of what you probably will do for them by what you've done in the past. And this can be from volunteer work. If you're a career professional, this can be from past experiences. So I'll use a professional as an example. If you've been in the workforce, well, let's even it out, let's say 5 years, your career summary can say, over 5 years of experience in X, Y, and Z, skilled with X, Y, and Z. You're highlighting very briefly what you're skilled in and how what your strengths are, so that they can kind of quantify how or qualify and quantify how you might be a fit for their company. But if you go right into your resume with a very linear line, I'm looking for an administrative opportunity where I can grow in the company. Okay, that's fluff. So that's one thing. Also, you want to make sure your resume roars. ROAR is an acronym for making sure that it's results-oriented and relevant. It has to be results-oriented and relevant. What were the results of the things that you've done in your job? Why is it relevant to me as the recruiter, and why is it relevant to the company? All right, and then the last thing, I keep talking about aesthetics, but when you talk about the format of it, Terrence said, I might not make it to the second page, but guess what? If I get to the second page now, I'm looking for more. And like I said earlier, those better be the best bullets of your life. So figuring out what details go into those bullets, and that can be a little song and dance, but it's power in those. You don't have to have 40 bullets, but make sure you have about good 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. 3 is good. You don't have to have 5, but if you've been in the workforce for some time, 5 is substantial. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. One second. Did we answer the, we're going to get your question, but I want to make
one
sure.
One thing I want to add about the summary at the top. If you have a hard time developing that, you can use your 30-second elevator pitch.
Yep.
Because you're developing that so you can be ready at a moment's notice, like Terrence said, to deliver your elevator pitch. Use that. Because we may not meet you for you to give us your elevator pitch, but we get that when you submit your resume.
Exactly.
So you can use that. The other questions, what's the easiest way to make money?
Come on, Rosetta, let me know.
I'm not going to touch that one. I don't know if you guys want to.
Hard work. Guess. Hard work and determination.
You have an answer for that?
Done.
Okay. We have a question.
And then we had the question, how to find candidates to replace retiring employees.
That was great.
That's what we're here for, to help you do that. Hopefully we've answered your questions on that, but we will be able to provide other information afterwards. But really it's just telling us what we want to know. And we put that out there in the job description, so you can go by the job description and use that, to kind of tailor your resume to what that company is looking for that particular job. You may have, a lot of experience. One tip that I like to provide, when I used to work in career services and I would talk to my students about, if you have a lot of experience and you're having a hard time drilling it down or having a hard time thinking of what to put on your resume, create a master resume that you keep on your computer. It may be 10 pages that has all of the information from every job you've had, every volunteer position you've had, every part of an organization that you've volunteered with or that you were a part of in school. And then, once you develop that, then you can just copy and paste over the relevant information to build that targeted resume that's based on what's in the job description. Mm-hmm. So then you're not sitting there trying to remember, what did I do at this company? What did I do when I worked in this organization, when I volunteered with this organization and put together a conference, that shows your organizational skills? Have everything in one place, then you can just go back and pull what you need to develop that resume that you're going to submit for that job.
And then we're going to take two more questions because we're getting the... I guess three.
Kim, real quick, just to touch on the one question about how do you... build that workforce for retiring employees. I think the biggest key is to being open-minded. So it means that you have to figure out what does that diverse talent pipeline look like to be successful in that role. And so you have to be open-minded for it being like, maybe it's more entry level, maybe it's mid-level, but getting the right skills in the seat is very important. And so whoever asked that question, I'm happy to talk to you about that, because we're doing a lot of that at JP Morgan Chase in regards to like reskilling our employees and bringing other people in, kind of take over some of those legacy positions.
I just appreciate the question. That's awesome. I love when I partner with hiring managers and they're looking for succession planning. That says a lot, and that allows you to forecast. So you're not just kind of reacting to, oh my gosh, somebody left, or I have this need. You're planning. So that's a great way to start. So like I said, they're about to play the music for us to get off stage in a moment. We can take, so I said three. I know I saw your hand back there, and then I know you have the mic, so you're going to be next. And I saw you. And then I'll be around afterwards for any other questions. And I know my team members here will also be here. All right. So, yes.
Hello, my name is Daniela with Cardozo TransDem. I was asking, since we're high schoolers, what is your best or biggest advice for us going into the workforce?
Great question. It's a loaded question. It's great. Mm-hmm. I love that you asked that question. So congratulations for even thinking about that. I would say my best advice, I was just talking to my son about this, and he's way younger than high school age. I was saying, you know, just know, remember, recognize that what you're doing right now will follow you. It just will follow you. So try to make decisions kind of thinking where you may want to be. You don't have to know it all right now, but just making sure that you're proud to say that you can look back and say, I was this type of person, or I represented myself this way. Also, always ask questions and be available for everything. There's this term that I use, which is called the microwave mentality. A lot of times, unfortunately, right now, not you guys specifically, but that skills, that age group, it's very instant. I want, how can I get what I want quickly? And there's a such thing as skin in the game. So don't be above any task. Be a sponge. Be available to do the work that people are not. And that's really how you grow. I can't tell you how many opportunities I've had from just being the person in the room to, you know, do all of the work, or being available is just what it comes down to. And just don't be afraid to be professional. A lot of times, you know, I like to have fun. I like to be relaxed, but I also want to represent myself as a professional. So I'll stop there because I know we have other questions.
I would just add, don't discount volunteer opportunities. A lot of people do. It's valuable for a resume with, you know, the way things are with layoffs and things. I actually was laid off and was out of work for about 6 months. But during that time, I volunteered with different organizations, took on leadership positions within those organizations so that I could show, you know, leadership skills on my resume, organizational skills, things like that. So don't discount any volunteer opportunities starting in high school, you know, clubs that you're involved with. Seek out leadership positions, opportunities to organize events and run programs and things like that. Don't discount volunteer opportunities. They're very important.
They literally just gave us stairs in the door. So we have yours and then the next person.
Okay, hi. My name is Jordan Suarez. I am an international student graduating from Drexel, and one of the barriers that I come up against is I never really know when to bring that into the conversation when I speak to recruiters. Mm-hmm. So what is your advice? Like, I want to know about the position, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. I don't want to take up too much of my time. Any advice you have on that would be great.
Yeah, I know for me, I just went through this process with our intern program. So I manage the CPT processing for visas, right? We don't necessarily, certain levels of sponsorship requirements, we don't necessarily move forward. Certain things are disqualifiers, and then there are certain eligibility requirements. So I say ask up front, because you don't want to waste your time and go through all of these measures and then find that you're not eligible for whatever reason. So ask up front. I think there's no harm or foul with that.
And with our company, it's in the application. So for Newport News Shipbuilding, we can only hire U.S. citizens, but some of our subsidiaries can hire like U.S. Permanent residents or permanent status? Yeah, U.S. persons, thank you.
Yeah.
So it's, for some companies, it's in the application. So if you're disqualified for that, it'll knock you out. But if you're not, then you can move forward.
I had a question about career transition.
Yes.
Like, imagine you're a professional and you realize that the job, maybe when you're in the industry, you realize that you prefer more another job than the one you're currently doing.
Yes.
So what advice do you have for a person who wants to make such a transition?
Yes. Career transition is my favorite. All things are good, but I love, because we evolve as people, right? So sometimes you might start in one industry and might want to switch gears. You want to first of all look at the low-hanging fruit. What can you leverage? What experience do you have that's relevant to the next industry or next role? And I'm talking super fast. Let me know if stop by if you have any questions afterwards. I just don't want to get the evil looks. Not evil looks, but the looks in the door. So if you have experience that's relevant and you don't necessarily either know the industry you're going to, or if you do know the industry, you just want to call out that experience. Also look at you have to do some research. So look to see what's relevant in the description of where you're going versus where you are, and then look at the gaps in between. Be prepared to speak to those gaps. And there are ways that you can speak to your gaps in the resume so that it doesn't knock you out of the process, but it's also not an embellishment, because a lot of times people try to make up for their shortcomings in their resume, and then they'll start to put in things that are not necessarily their experience. So look to research the industry. This is an industry research. Look for keywords, look for experiences that are comparable to what you already have, and then also look for the gaps. The strongest interviews for me is when a candidate is honest and says to me, listen, I don't have experience in this, but this is the experience that I have. And let me tell you, when I started this role, I didn't have experience in that either. But this is what I did as a result of me not knowing, and this is where I left. Being able to show that you can start in a role and evolve is very strong. So yeah, that's kind of my two cents.
Every job has transferable skills that you can take with you from job to job, from industry to industry. So those are the things you want to highlight.
All right. We will talk to you afterwards because they're going to open the door. But please come see us if you have any questions. I can hang out all day. Thank you all for being such great participants. Thank you, team members. And I hope you all get some great information today.
And the high school students that had questions at the beginning, come see us in the back for your hoodie.
Thank you for listening to Extreme Resumes. Constructing a Stellar Resume, a professional development seminar featuring Director, Global Strategy for Diversity Talent for JP Morgan Chase, Terrence Bowman, CEO, founder of Courageant Consulting, Kim Arrington, and University Relations Recruiter for Huntington Ingalls Industries, Rosetta Rowland. If you have enjoyed this presentation, be sure to attend the BEA STEM Global Competitiveness Conference. For more information on how you, your company, or organization can take part, visit www.bea.org. For college students, contact us at 410-244-7101.